Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Thursday morning. Hope you made it through the snowstorm, the nor'easter, okay, depending on where you were. The old north and west of the city got hammered with this, but a lot of other people made it through. Okay, got the drive this morning. Didn't have to get in that overnight, crazy, vagrant-filled train. A St. John's win in the Big East tournament. A Giants trade. Plenty of other great stuff to talk about this morning, Boomer. Good morning. How are you?
You know, I'm pretty good. You know, the coolest thing yesterday was the thunder and the snow.
Oh, I know. I got
that
a little bit of that.
The coolest thing ever, man.
Thunder, snow.
Yep. I don't think – maybe I've heard that once or twice, but, yeah, yesterday was unbelievable. But I made it through. It seems like obviously you made it through all the way out to Bellport and back, and you drove this morning, you said?
I did, yeah. I drove right in. No
problem.
Be problems.
Thankful that you don't live north or west of the city over in Jersey and up in – there are people stuck in their cars overnight.
Yeah, I know.
That's how bad it's been. So hopefully those people will be safe. Hey, you talked about the Giants and their trade. For me right now, this is a great trade. Why? Because the New York Giants just got themselves a tackling machine. Mm-hmm. Remember, they're moving to the 3-4 defense. You need an inside linebacker. You need somebody with presence. This Alec Ogletree is an animal. He is just a beast. Now, he doesn't miss many games either. You know, I mean, this guy is relatively healthy. He has got a ton of tackles. He's had three seasons in which he's had over 100 tackles per season. I don't know if the Rams felt like, you know, I know the Rams have to pay Aaron Donald, and it sounds like, and it looks like, that they're moving money around to try to figure out a way to pay their defensive tackles. So, unfortunately, for a lot of these players who I'm sure are a little bit shocked that they're getting traded and being traded and that the Rams are moving a lot of pieces around, if you will, off the board. But for the New York Giants and Alec Ogletree, this is like a perfect fit. This is Gettleman's first foray into kind of reshaping this defense and getting some players in here that are really, truly top-end players. And this kid is a terrific tackler. Now, I know that the Rams were not great on defense last year. Their run defense wasn't all that great. But I think with the new defensive coordinator, the new way of doing things here, I got to believe that Alec Ogletree has got to be excited about coming here. He's got to feel, you know, emboldened by the fact that he is going to be their best linebacker as we sit here and we talk right now. He will be a leader of this defense. And the one thing I will say about him, from watching him over the last few years, he's no joke. He is no joke. I mean, he will go after guys. You know, he brings an intensity.
He did with Odell Beckham Jr.
He did. I know that's a big part of the story around here, but who cares?
Right. It's a long time ago now.
The fact of the matter is that's a football game. Those are football players. They're in their uniforms, and they're going after each other. And it just goes to show you that this guy is, you know, for lack of a better way of describing him, it's balls to the wall, man, the whole game. And I just thought when I saw this yesterday, I was like, wow, I would have never thought that would have been the case. But it has turned out to be the case. And it's a good ad by the New York Giants right now. And I think it just goes to show you exactly what Gettleman's all about and what he's looking for. And if he continues down this path, I think this is going to really bode well for the Giants.
Now, at first blush, I said, this is great. This guy's a captain of the defense. He played a 3-4 last year under Wade Phillips. The only reason he was available, I mean, they gave him a contract in October. The only reason he was available is because they might have to sign another free agent, Tremaine Johnson, if he wants to come back, the Aaron Donald contract, and they needed to clear out some cap space. But then, as I did a little more research, now you are a pro football focus guy, right? You like pro football focus.
Yes, I do.
Would you be shocked to hear this? That Alec Ogletree ranked 830th out of 856 defensive players graded by pro football focus last year?
I would be shocked.
I mean, that is horrendous.
Well, I mean, the way that they look at the things, yes.
And at his position, 76th.
But he's exactly what the Giants need.
Well, but he's been underperforming according to them. If we are to trust them. Now, you're right. When you look at first blush,
he's a tackling machine.
Right, but are tackles the greatest barometer of these things is something that someone who trusts Pro Football Focus would say.
I would say that when you play against the Rams, that you had to know where he was. Like, you knew, you know, when you think back of, the great linebacker, I would say he's a great Ray Lewis type linebacker, but I'm just telling you, he's an inside linebacker who makes tackles, which is something, and he plays. You know, like, he's not hurt. You know what I'm saying? It's another one of these guys that you can count on.
Yeah.
So I think it's actually a really good ad for the New York Giants.
Yeah,
really,
I mean, I'd be a little bit worried about that. If you're someone who trusts Pro Football Focus, I would be worried about that. Because why would they have him ranked as one of the worst defensive players in football? But they also, and that's why I was thinking more about why would the Rams want to part with this guy? This contract wasn't so crazy where you would say, wow, they really had to get that off the books. I mean, it's a manageable contract, and that's why I think the Giants pounce on it as well, was, hey, we can get this guy, we can get him here for a long time at a number that makes sense to us, but I would be a little bit concerned with that. However, talent-wise, first-round draft choice when the Rams selected him, and you would think that this could be potentially the best linebacker that the Giants have had in a while.
Yes.
If he could turn it around a little bit according to some of these numbers. And another thing I read that I didn't love was the fact that out of all the years of these rankings, right, that they do for Pro Football Focus, his worst year was last year. And he got a grade of 38.9, which is horrendous for them. And that was the only year he played in a 3-4. Which with Wade Phillips.
Well, now he's going to be in a much more aggressive defense. He's going to be an aggressive a defense coordinator that, by all accounts, likes to blitz, likes to bring pressure. Most guys you would like to think do that, but this guy likes to force the issue. In Betcher, their new defense coordinator, they saw a need, they needed it, and they also saw pressure on an opposing team's salary cap. And I don't know who made the first call. I don't know who decided that that this was going to be the case. But I actually like it. I like it. I like what Gettleman sees as a weakness now. All of a sudden, is went out and made a very, I would say, significant decision. And they brought in a significant type player. Here's the other thing about what's going on with the Giants. You could take this contract and you can, you know, move it around in terms of bonuses and all this other stuff to mitigate some of the salary cap pressure that they would have right now. I think there's a $10 million cap hit along with Alec Ogletree. So I would imagine that they are going to, in some way, shape, or form, move some of that money around to lessen the cap hit this year. And remember, you know, you still have a quarterback that's making $22 million. You're going to have to pay Odell Beckham Jr. Kind of like Odell Beckham Jr. is to the Giants what Aaron Donald is to the Rams.
Sure, yep.
These are two players that are the best players at their respective positions, and they want to be paid as such. So you have to take into account all of that stuff. That's why it's one of the reasons I still believe that you have to draft a quarterback with the number two pick overall, simply because, you know, you're going to end up paying all these guys, and where are you going to save money? In the long run, you're going to save money with a young quarterback, at least for 3 years after this year. You know, so the next 3 years of that rookie's quarterback will be a manageable number, so you could pay other players on your roster. So I think that, you know, there are going to be some, there's going to be a lot of pressure points coming for the Giants, especially when it involves Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah, so I think that if you're going to fill this roster out and you're Dave Gettleman and you're thinking about the ways that you're going to use the draft, you're going to use free agency, you're going to use trades, this is why I'm really, really interested in what he does in free agency now after this Ogletree trade and how many guys he ends up bringing in, how much cap space he ends up using there, because that's going to give us a better indication of what he may do with that number two overall pick. If you start to see them, you know, go and sign Jerick McKinnon and bring him in because he's a Shermer guy, then I'll feel a little bit less inclined to think that they're going to go after Saquon Barkley at that number two pick. If they end up bringing in not one but two offensive linemen in free agency, then I'm going to be less inclined to think that maybe they trade down a little bit, acquire some more picks, and bring in Quentin Nelson. So, you know, with the Jets and Giants, we talk about the Jets and Cousins and how that affects free agency and the draft and what they're going to do. With the Giants, it's the same thing. And I really want to see how Dave Gettleman handles free agency, how he plugs holes, because if he comes out of free agency with a lot of holes still on that team, then I do think that there's an opportunity for them to either go out and get Saquon Barkley. They're not going to take the young quarterback like we have talked about, or maybe they trade down. I know our own Paul Dottino was talking about, well, they need more picks now, especially if they're sending out a couple to the Rams here, this trade for Ogletree. They got to acquire more picks, and if they're not going to take a quarterback, then they might as well trade back and get some more picks and capitalize on a desperate team who needs a quarterback. So the Giants can go in all sorts of ways. I mean, we are in lockstep with what they should do. I mean, they have all sorts of tentacles out there that they could really figure out in all different roads that they could take.
Well, remember, the salary cap has gone up to $177 million now per team from $168 million last year. So there's a little bit more, you know, I would say cap cushion, if you will. But still, you know, I would imagine that Brandon Marshall is going to get released. I would imagine that there are a couple other players on here that will be released before free agency gets started here next week, and a couple things still to look at overall in terms of where they believe their holes are, and this whole thing about DRC being moved to safety. You know, I don't know if that's true. I mean, I think that you know, I don't know where that story came from. You know, DRC's making a lot of money, and he was not the greatest of teammates last year. Mm-hmm. You know, and Eli Apple's making $4 million this year. So there could be still a purge of some of the people that were in that locker room if they can get rid of him.
Yeah, and we've talked a ton about Pat Shurmur, his impact on the offense. You know, how about James Betcher and the impact on his defense? Because there's a lot of guys with talent on that defense that had so many issues last year, both on and off the field. Can you resurrect those careers and have those guys be great players for you? I mean, that's a major, major question for the Giants defensively in 2018 is, are you going to get a DRC that's not going to quit six times during a season? Are you going to get an Eli Apple who is not a locker room cancer, like one of his own teammates said of that? You know, what are you going to get out of those guys?
Well, there's still some more decisions to be made there. That's what I'm talking about. And you talk about decisions to be made. Sounds like Seattle's purging their roster of locker room lawyers and distractions off the field.
Michael Bennett to the Eagles, man.
You know, and Howie Roseman's going to take a roll of the dice and say, okay, we'll bring this guy in. That's fine. Good for him. He's a very talented player, but he's also a very interesting off-the-field player. I would say interesting. I could say controversial. You could put a number of different adjectives towards him. So that's one guy out of that locker room. Richard Sherman's going to be out of that locker room.
Yeah, that was an interesting story how that played out yesterday.
He blew out his Achilles, so I don't know where he is health-wise either. And then you also have Earl Thomas is probably going to be out of that locker room. And I think, you know, Pete Carroll took that team as far as he could take them. You know, those guys have been chirping left and right. And I think, you know, it's one thing to allow players to have their personalities and say whatever you want to say and all that other stuff. Then all of a sudden it becomes, in the eyes of many, a distraction. And Seattle's gone through a whole changeover on their coaching staff. Their players are getting older and more expensive, and they are just not playing to the level that they were playing to prior to, you know, getting these big contracts and all that other stuff. And Pete Carroll and John Schneider out there are saying, we need to get rid of these guys.
Right.
And that, so there is a purge on defense that is going on right now.
Yeah, so the Richard Sherman thing, he had a meeting with the Seahawks and then came out of that and texted some of his friends, and then they went to social media basically saying, all right, goodbye to Richard Sherman. So that hasn't happened yet. I mean, I don't know what you can get for Richard Sherman. I mean, I believe it was late in the season that he tore that Achilles.
And if you remember, Richard also said that he knew that it was going to break. He knew that it was going to snap on him.
Right.
He said he felt it happening.
Yeah.
And that it was on its way. So it just goes to show you how fleeting the NFL really truly can be.
And that should have been a team that won two Super Bowls, too.
Yeah, well, I understand that. So they made a play, and Malcolm Butler made a play to keep him from winning the second one.
But that's going to drive me. Now that they're breaking down, they're going to be thinking about that.
Well,
I mean, those guys will be thinking about that again. This whole team is breaking down.
All I know is that for Pete Carroll, the coach that he is, the opposite of what Bill Belichick is. He's a guy, you know, that is, you know, be who you want to be. He's flowery and all that other crap. And ultimately, sometimes it starts getting away from you. And I think that they've recognized that, you know, these guys are breaking down. There's a lot of stuff going on around them off the field that they just don't want to be a part of anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's due in large part to the way Pete coaches and his own personality. And it's finally come to an end.
Yeah, and that defense for sure. But let's not forget how many problems and warts they have in that offense. They got one of the worst offensive lines in football. They haven't been able to figure out that running game since Marshawn Lynch left. And basically, it's Doug Baldwin, a bunch of vagabonds that they have there at that wide receiver position. I don't think Jimmy Graham's coming back. So you want to talk about issues that they have. Now they're sending guys off left and right in that defense. I mean, that offense was Russell Wilson and Russell Wilson alone last year for a majority of the season. So that's a team that if they're not going to be able to keep teams or keep that team in games with their defense, they could fall off really quick. I mean, this could be a really, really rough stretch for them because both sides of the ball are extremely suspect right now.
Well, all I can tell you is that, you know, for all these players and all this, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess I would say the opportunity to speak out on whatever the hell you want to speak out with, it only goes for so long.
Yeah.
And then finally teams are going to get tired of it and you're going to have to go find another job or go do something else. And I just think that
Earl Thomas wasn't one of those guys.
What I think is that it's a very proud group of men that accomplished a lot of great things out there in Seattle. And now all of a sudden you're seeing guys get hurt. You're seeing a lot of other things go on around that team. And finally the team's had enough.
Yeah, I mean, I think that also when you get to a certain age, you're making a decent amount of money. You're gonna have a target on your back no matter what. And what puts you over the top is if you're talking too much. And also Richard Sherman too. There was infighting with like that offense. He was always talking about
the play calling,
all that other stuff.
Enough already.
Goodbye. Yeah, that to me, you know, as far as like the off the field and talking about the NFL and Roger Goodell and all the things that he would say. To me, the worst out of all of it is when he would criticize his own offensive coordinator and head coach. Yeah, that, to me, was the worst. The fact that this is a guy who would go and just blast the play calling or stand on the sideline next to Pete Carroll and complain during the game about what they were doing on offense.
Enough already.
Yeah.
That's exactly that. You know, it's run its course, and they're doing something about it. So, good for the Giants this morning. They add a legitimate inside linebacker, a guy, regardless of what they say over there at Pro Football Focus, a guy that actually does make tackles.
Yeah, they added one of the 830th best players in the NFL.
And he'll bring intensity. You watch. He will definitely bring intensity to this defense.
Yeah, and I don't know how much I go back and forth about how much I trust those evaluations because, you know, the Rams wouldn't have given him the money. You got to trust Dave Gettleman. This guy built an NFC championship team in Carolina. So I trust all those things, you know, but I can't ignore the fact that it was that far. I mean, if he was in the middle of the pack, fine. But I mean, 830 of that 856 caught my eye. All right.
You know, we were talking about real quickly. We were talking about the other day. There are still numerous reports out there that Odell Beckham Jr. is looking for a contract north of $20 million per.
Yeah.
So just remember that when you're talking about what's going on with the Giants, how much salary they can add, whether or not they're going to have to shed players, much like the Rams are doing, in order to pay Aaron Donald. So Aaron Donald is going to get a huge contract, and I would imagine that Odell Beckham Jr. is going to keep a very close eye on that one.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
You know, I tell you, sometimes Boomer says something and then all of a sudden it turns out to be a report somewhere. You know? Like the other day when I brought up the Peyton Manning thing. I said, what are they going to pay Peyton Manning to be at the Thursday night booth? And you said $10 million. And all of a sudden I saw a report yesterday from, some guy. Sports Business Daily or something. They're going to pay Peyton Manning $10 million to go into the booth, either ESPN or Fox, for Monday Night Football or Thursday Night Football.
Kind of makes sense.
I tell you, man. You know what?
What?
You set the news sometimes.
Yeah, I set the news already.
You do. You are the news setter. You are the trend setter.
Well, now, you know, in the paper this morning, it talks about they also want Mike Tirico to be the voice of Thursday Night Football on Fox. That would mean he would have to leave NBC. And they want him to be the play-by-play guy with Peyton. If Peyton wants Mike Tirico, then Peyton gets what Peyton wants.
Didn't he just go to NBC?
Yeah. I think he did, yes. Right. I don't know how that's moving around and all that other stuff, but it's good for Mike Tirico. Makes him more popular.
They were saying they were going to try to get him just for Thursday nights, let him stay at NBC and work out a deal where he just comes over for Thursday night.
Which is what they're doing with A-Rod on Sunday Night Baseball, right? Where he's a Fox guy, but he just does the Sunday Night Baseball
for ESPN.
You know
what I love? I love the fact that these people now are finally coming to the realization that it's okay to work in two different places. Where was that 20 years ago when I came out of SNL? I mean, I'd be working at 50 different places if I could.
Yeah, no, I know.
You kind of are, aren't right. you?
Yeah, you're right.
Right. All right, Jerry's here. He's got an update for us. Good morning, Jerry. Good
morning. We're brought to you by Massey Machado Strength and Conditioning, the fitness and sports performance experts. Visit them at mmscny.com. And what you guys have been talking about, the Giants agreeing to acquire Rams linebacker Alec Ogletree and a 2019 seventh-round pick for their fourth and their sixth. Also, Michael Bennett goes from Seattle to Philly. The Patriots releasing Martellus Bennett. And I guess it was ESPN that says Jerry Jones is going to pay the $2 million to the league after the two sides.
He's got no choice.
Met.
He's got 31 other owners. Says you're paying. You're paying. That's exactly what you're doing.
Looks like that is the case. Then there's Le'Veon Bell. He went on Instagram yesterday, account. And he was answering questions about him playing or not playing now that he received the franchise tag.
Am I going to sit out if I don't get paid? Honestly, no. I'm not going to sit out.
He says you can count me in.
I'm going to be in the facility week one. Is he going to be a rerun of last year?
He says.
Well, if it's a rerun of last year, that means he's not going to go to training camp.
Well, he said.
Oh yeah,
week one.
He said none of that.
Okay.
But he said he will play. But he's not going to go to camp or OTAs or any of that stuff. But I will be there, and he basically said too, I want my numbers.
Yeah.
Because I'm a running back. I need to run, and I want to play in the games. But he will not do anything else unless he gets the new contract.
Hopefully, we get a deal done. That's the biggest thing. We just want to get a deal done. I want to get a deal done.
So we'll see if a deal gets done, but the idea that he might miss the season, that's not going to happen. He will play next year. Big East tournament.
Well, that idea came from him, by the way. So it's he's the one who said that. It's not like people were speculating.
So he also made mention, if I find it here, he said it was the whole thing about where that came from was just he got caught up in everything and he was angry. So he said what
he said. I don't blame him for being angry, honestly. Hey, he's going to sit here and he's going to watch Kirk Cousins break the bank. Now, Kirk Cousins has had to deal with what he's had to deal with 2 years in a row playing under the franchise tag. But here's the most complete back in the entire NFL. And he wants to get paid and he wants to be respected via the amount of money he's being paid. I don't blame him. I really don't.
Big East tournament, Madison Square Garden, opened last night with St. John's and Georgetown. Hoyas played a really solid first half, had themselves a six-point lead, and then back came the Johnnies.
Out of the corner, Mosley for three. No good. And the rebound, battle four, into the hands of Simon, and it's off to the races once again. And Justin Simon now will slow the tempo just a little bit. Now accelerates down the right side. The lane, his runner is up and good. It'll count and a chance for a three-point play. Justin Simon changes speed on his way to the hoop.
John Minko St. John's Radio.
Party time.
88-77, your final score. Justin Simon at 16 points. Shamari Pons with 26. An 11-point win for the Johnnies. Head coach Chris Mullen, what was the key in the second half?
Kept the guards out of the paint and made them shoot contested twos.
Opposed to having free reign. Patrick Ewing, you're done. How did year one go?
Right now it's hard to reflect on it. I just have a bitter taste in my mouth right now.
Understandably so. And you know what sucks for St. John's?
They got to play at noon today. It sucks for Minko, too. Where did he go?
That is brutal. Well, no, he's with the team. He's fine at the hotel.
Oh, he's at the hotel now. All right, good.
But the idea, you want to talk about a back-to-back.
Yeah, that's not right.
If they win today... Against, I don't ever want to hear another NBA player ever say anything ever again about playing on a back-to-back.
Yeah, this is not right. And, you know, and by the way, Shamari Pons is still playing with a bad stomach,
abdominal,
right?
Yeah, right.
Abdominal, he did. He had 26 points. So,
I heard a highlight coming in where Tierney was going crazy on it.
Is this true?
Yeah, he's going
crazy.
What
was the highlight?
You know what? I forget. I just was laughing because Mink goes, oh, and there's another dunk. And Tierney's like, boom, Mink. We got him flying up here in the garden, like he gave one of those. And Mink was like, nah.
it was a dunk, though?
Yeah, I believe it was. Yeah.
I got to find that.
It was great. It got me fired. I was fist pumping in the car.
Were you really?
Yeah, I was, man. I tell you, those two, that's a broadcast team that I go to the radio
for. Let's see if it's, I think this is it.
Justin splits the defense to the free throw line. Hooks it, and a one-hand jam by Tariq Owens.
Wow. Putting on a show here at the Garden, Mink.
Showtime at the Big East Tournament. And St. John's takes a one-point lead, 32-31. The crowd on their feet.
All right.
Make a huge deposit in the family fun bank.
That is quality analysis right
there. Oh, that was awesome, man.
Yes. There you go.
Showtime at the Garden.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So, yeah, they'll play Xavier at noon, followed by Providence and Creighton. Tonight
they're the one seed, right?
Yeah.
So this is, oh, man.
St. John's played them tough the last two times. It's at their building.
This is the way the Big East makes sure their number one seed makes it all the way through.
It certainly helps. I just don't understand why they wouldn't play at 7 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, I know.
You play the one seed, I get it. That's fine. That's how the draw goes. But play at 7. Give them 24 hours.
Do they do that to give a significant advantage to the one seed, even though they have a bye anyway?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. So that's what you've got. Providence, Creighton also. And then tonight, Marquette and Villanova. Marquette did beat DePaul 72-69. And then the late game will be Seton Hall and Butler. ACC tournament at Barclays Center. North Carolina beat Syracuse 78-59. Four more games today, including Louisville and number one Virginia at 12 noon. Fordham did lose to GW in the first round of the A-10 tournament, so they're done. And Bucknell gets the automatic bid. They won the Patriot League. Rockets win again, beat the Bucks 110-99. That is, count them, 17 straight wins for Houston. James Harden had 26. Then you had the Cavaliers winning in Denver last night, 113-108. LeBron James, 39 points. he was remarkable. 10 assists, and Larry Nance Jr. took notice how he was down the stretch.
It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. I mean, those are shots that, like, as a defender, you just turn around to your coach and go, like, sorry, I don't know what you want from me.
Yeah, he was pretty good last night, according to at least the stories, because I certainly didn't see it with the late start. Raptors beat the Pistons 121-119 in overtime. Toronto has won 13 of 14, clinch a playoff spot. DeMar DeRozan at 42. And Anthony Davis leaves with the ankle injury. I actually saw this highlight. It's amazing these ankles don't break. He goes up for a rebound, comes down, and the foot goes the wrong way, essentially.
Yeah.
Left. He tried to come back when I was watching the highlights, but then ultimately left. But they did win, and they've won 10 straight games last night.
They won anyway, right? So
they did win
now
anyway,
the question is, what is the long-term situation or short-term situation for Anthony Davis?
Because I think this is the second or maybe the second time in three games where he's had an ankle issue. And again, last night was just unfortunate. Came down wrong on the foot. But again, playing well. Memphis has lost 15 straight. The Bulls beat them last night, 119-110.
You know, the Knicks have been at, 1-8? Since Porzingis went down, and they haven't gained a single game in the opposite direction of the lottery. Everybody else sucks.
Right.
Hey, by the
amazing.
Way, did the Bulls play their two players a little bit more?
Yeah, I didn't look at the box score.
Lopez,
I don't know. I don't know.
I think they
did. I saw the what's the right word? The people, the two players that were starting that no one had ever heard of. I don't know if they played again last night. I don't know what their starting lineup looked like. But you mentioned Lopez. Brooke Lopez hit a couple of big free throws for the Lakers, who won down the stretch last night.
Did you see how that game ended?
27 points. I didn't.
All right. So they end up – I just saw the highlight before I walked in here.
That was Orlando, right?
Yeah,
they won by one.
Yeah, it was very strange. So, all right. So there, it was 0.7 seconds on the clock. The game, they were down one, Orlando. They're inbounding the ball in their
zone.
This
is after the two free throws by Lopez.
They call a timeout. They're inbounding the ball.
Sure, I hit the two free throws.
So they're inbounding the ball. The clock starts running before. So they shoot, try to do an alley-oop, you know, with the pass from in the inbounds pass. The clock starts running before anybody touches the ball. So they have this whole screw up, and they end up, the solution was having a jump ball instead. So
why wouldn't you just re-inbound the ball?
I don't know. So Frank Vogel, the coach of the Magic, was breaking his clipboard over his knee and flipping out because they should have just inbounded the ball again.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Just
I did
stupid.
Not see that. Yeah. Tonight, the Nets visit the Charlotte Hornets. You got the Rangers in Tampa, the Islanders skate in Edmonton. Devils host the Jets. The Yankees and Mets yesterday, spring training action. Yankees wound up winning 11-4 as Billy McKinney hit a grand slam. Hal Steinbrenner did meet with the media yesterday. He says, all in all, solid spring.
It's early, obviously, but everybody's excited. You know, all the young guys that we hoped would be playing well.
So that's a positive.
I mean, that's not like Sanchez and Judge he's talking about. He's talking about all the other young guys.
Correct.
He's got like a whole other roster of young guys.
Yeah, pretty much. He's talking
ridiculous.
About Andujar and Torres and all these other guys.
And who's this guy that hit the grand slam
Billy
yesterday?
McKinney.
Yeah, where the hell did he come from?
Yeah, I don't know. His number's in the
70s. Multiple home runs, right? I think this
spring. I'm pretty sure we're not going to see much of him in the Bronx. Maybe
maybe. We're not going to see him at all.
But I don't think we'll be
seeing
Billy McKinney.
But I'm just saying, it's ridiculous.
It is
how many like young guys are actually doing things for you to take notice on.
I agree. Here's Hal. He still does want to avoid the luxury tax.
That's absolutely my goal, Sweeney, still, to stay under the threshold.
Nah, you're cheapskate.
As you know,
why is he a cheapskate?
Well, I don't know. If that were one of the Wilpons saying that, everybody would be screaming and yelling. Well, let's go to Anthony in Belleville real quick. Anthony, first. What's happening?
Boomer, Geo, and Recco, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, hey, and Recco, yes.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I can't believe that I'm saying that they're actually thinking about batting Aaron Judge first. Now, is this the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard?
Yeah, I don't know how much you're going to see this. I really don't know. Do you want me to give you a serious answer on this?
Why even say that?
Well, because I'll tell you why. Because the Yankees have been bereft of interesting stories coming out of spring because they're so good, and the two position battles they have are a bunch of young guys. And someone tossed it out there. They asked the question. We talked about this yesterday. Somebody asked the question. Like, could Judge bat leadoff? And Aaron Boone was like, maybe. And then all of a sudden it's on the back page. So that's how it happened.
Whoever said that should be fired.
Well, that's Aaron Boone.
Right, you want to fire Boone. We got our first fire Boone phone call.
It doesn't even make it to opening day. Here's CeCe Sabathia. He can't wait for the Stanton show at the stadium.
I'm excited to see what kind of numbers he can put up in our park. Obviously, he's going to be a good teammate. You know, he's getting along with the guys great, so it's exciting.
Yeah, very exciting.
Now, CeCe also said we could have the best rotation in baseball.
He says a lot of stuff these
days.
And
the other thing, too, is that I guess I didn't realize this, that the Rays are going to go with a four-man rotation. Did you see that?
Because they don't have enough.
Right. I know. That's what I'm saying. It's amazing.
I did not notice that. That's kind of cool, though. You got other teams, I think, thinking about a six-man rotation.
Didn't CeCe so they also went back say the other way. Gary Sanchez is the best?
He did.
He was talking in superlatives yesterday. Hitter he was all over the place.
It's going to be Manny Ramirez or somebody else. It was crazy.
Here it is.
Reminds me of like a young Manny Ramirez. So, I mean, that's enough to say it right there, I guess, right?
Wow.
Makes sense.
It does. Dave
Boomer even said, you know, all this talk about Stanton and Judge, watch Gary Sanchez be the best of the bunch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, especially in that lineup.
I guess he's working on his defensive part of his game and all this other stuff. Everybody seems to be lauding him. I mean, at the end of the day, it's spring training, right? So, if the Yankees get off to, I don't know, a 500 start, 10-10 after 20.
That's a
disaster, right? I mean, everybody's expecting them to be like 15-5, 16-4, something like that.
20-0.
Right, 20-0, yes. they may never lose a game. You're right.
In terms of the Mets, Zach Wheeler, 3 scoreless innings, 4 Good. Strikeouts. Travis d'Arnaud, 2-for-2 with a home run. Here's Mickey Callaway. Likes what he saw from Wheeler.
No, Wheeler looks really good. Good velo on the fastball. There's some really good breaking balls in
there. Got to have the velo. He says the pitchers at the back end of the rotation giving him big decisions to be making.
It's a battle. I mean, it's a battle. You know, some guys are impressive. We're
talking about Lugo, Gazelman. You got Vargas. You got Wheeler. Where does Steven Matz fit in?
Forget Steven Matz. But Vargas is there. He's going to make it. And then it comes down to, I believe, if Wheeler pitches like this, then they're your five.
It's
got to
be him, yeah.
That's
you would certainly think so, yes. He was asked if he knows what he'll do with the starters that aren't in the rotation.
Not at this moment. I mean, we're thinking about it.
Now, you also were talking about the young players with Hal and the Yankees. Well, the young players with the Mets are Rosario and Dominic Smith, and they're still not a rounder back.
It's valuable reps and playing time that they're missing. So that it's a concern.
Now, the good news about Rosario is that supposedly he feels better. The bad news is I do not believe he's on their travel sheet today to play the Nationals. So it does not look like he'll be back in the lineup today.
I don't care
today.
If he plays the Nationals today. I as care long as he's playing healthy. The Nationals in April.
Right. He's supposedly feeling much better. Should
That's
be fine.
Good. That's our youngest player is hurt.
Yeah.
What happens?
It's concerning. It's concerning because he didn't know. First it was a knee, then it was a groin, and then it checked out. Right. He doesn't feel right. He's not back on the field. And now the manager's saying he's missing reps, and you can tell he's getting a little bit annoyed. I mean, Dom Smith, I've basically given up on it.
But where'd he go? Right.
Yeah, nobody knows. But let me ask you this. Joel Sherman writes an article today, and I trust Joel what he writes. He's locked in and everything. Talking about the distraction that is Yoenis Cespedes. Do you think it's much to do about nothing?
Yes.
Or do you think there's something to be said there?
No. What distraction? I don't.
Well, I mean, wearing the hat on backwards, doing the thing, the drills, the way that he wants to do the drills, all that other crap.
Nope.
I know one thing. If you're playing for my team and you're on the field, you're wearing your hat.
I know you don't
right
like Yoenis. That's fine. But I think as long as he hits, it's fine.
Right.
I know. But that's all right. So here's the problem. That's not fine. I mean, he's supposed to be the best player in the team. So reading the article, goes to everything I can't stand.
Right.
Right? I hate the individuality. I hate the fact that, you wear your hat on backwards.
I'm a guy that's been on Yoenis.
Okay. So when you walk onto the field, you should be a professional at all times, and you should act as such, and you should be the reason why other people do the things the right way, because you're doing it the right way. So when Michael Jordan stepped on the practice court 3 hours before practice even started working on his game, if you were a rookie on that team, your ass better be on that court with him, or you're not going to play, or you're going to get, hazed and ridden into the locker room, where it's going to be uncomfortable. This whole thing, there's something to it. I don't care what anybody
Maybe.
Says.
Maybe. All I know is everybody to a man, when they were asked about Yoenis Cespedes last year, loves him in that clubhouse. We're not there. We don't know.
What did I tell you about Jay Bruce in the offseason before he signed here? We were talking about this. Would you bring Jay Bruce back? I said, I don't know if Jay Bruce wants to come back here. I don't think he wants to play with Yoenis Cespedes.
Well, he's here.
Well, because he had nowhere else to go. That's why.
Well, he's here, though.
But then they asked him about Yoenis Cespedes, and they asked him specifically about this in this article. And, I'm paraphrasing here. He just says, people do things the way they do things. It was a shot at Cespedes. This guy's going to, nobody's going to get through to him because that's why he's been on four different teams.
I think you can find a lot of different players that have a lot of different quirks. The bottom line is if you win, you forget about all that stuff. That's a fact.
I just think that when you are running a team and it's a collection of players, so you're not a tennis player, you're not a boxer, but you're not an individual sport guy. You are a part of a team, and there's a certain respect that should be afforded the sport that you play and the players that played and the players
that
have come
before you. Did
you
hate Manny? We were just talking about Manny Ramirez. He's the quintessential example of that.
I didn't like that win. Either. I understand that. I know they're great players. I'm old school that way. I get it. And, then to listen to Mickey Callaway and Amaro, the outfield coach, hitting fungos, he's working hard and all this other crap. And they're accepting of it.
Boomer, you're wrong.
Accepting of
Jerry,
what,
Jerry, you know
though?
What? I may be wrong. I'm just telling you how I feel. I'm just telling you how I feel.
Yeah.
It's not going to have any impact on it. But
I think it's a slow time. You're looking for something to write.
You let a little bit grow, then it grows and it grows and it grows, and then all of a sudden everybody else has got issues with it, especially when you're losing. Now, when you're winning, everything kind of is camouflaged and everybody loves each other. It's all great. But when you're losing and you have guys doing their own thing, it creates a problem.
As long
as
the players have respect for them and they like them, I don't think it matters.
I don't think anybody would tell you anything differently. But I will say that Sherman does write about what has been questioned in regards to Yoenis Cespedes ever since he's been a Major League Baseball player.
Okay,
and he does it differently. I get it. He does it differently, and maybe I'm a prude or whatever. I'm old or this, I'm that, I'm old school. I just always feel like you got to respect the sport you play, and when you put on that uniform, respect it. I don't know. Would he be doing this?
You're a rare breed, though, Boomer.
But would he be doing this if he were a Yankee? Let me ask you that question.
He might not sign with the Yankees if he couldn't be himself. Who knows? Well, let's relax.
Get off my lawn.
I mean, the Yankees are a great organization. They want to win like everybody else.
Right. They ain't putting up with that crap.
Well, I'm sure they put up with crap before.
No, they don't.
They have.
Get off my lawn.
I have to go back and find some examples, but I'm pretty sure they've put up with crap.
A-Rod? I mean, think about him.
I would like to think that A-Rod would respect the game of baseball.
Well, what is that?
Off the field, it's one thing.
His hat backwards is disrespecting the game of baseball?
Away from the game is one thing. Whatever you do, you do. I don't care, but I'm just saying. What Joel Sherman is writing about today,
A-Rod
which
pumping his body full of steroids for how many years was respecting the game of baseball?
He wants to win.
Is that respecting the game of baseball, though?
He's trying to win, and he's trying to be the best he can. I remember Craig Carton sitting here saying, I love the fact that he's taking steroids, and I don't care if he's taking steroids. Let him take all the steroids you want. Just keep hitting home runs.
And the Mets just say, let him wear his hat backwards if he's going to hit 40 home runs.
That's not going to get you suspended for 100 games.
I'm just saying that, I believe in respecting the sport. That's all.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That's all I'm saying. And Joel Sherman writes to that and writes about, what kind of example is he setting for the other players in the locker room. That's all.
And he's disrespecting the sport because he wears his hat backwards?
And he does things his
own
way.
One of the greatest center fielders of all time, Ken Griffey Jr., always wore his hat backwards, right? Am I wrong? Did he disrespect the game?
I don't remember him ever. Well, I don't know. I'm just sorry. I'm just reading.
His Hall of Fame plaque has him with a hat backwards.
I am reacting to a story today, and I'm reading it, and it talks about all the things we've talked about with Cespedes, not running the first base, misplaying a ball in the outfield, you know, throwing the ball underhand back to the outfield. All the things that we've all talked about before now are being written about. And I don't know why he's writing it. Maybe he's just writing it so we can talk about it, I guess, which is fine.
Because it's March 8th.
Yeah.
That's right.
Honestly.
So
and if he came off a year last year where it wasn't hurt for that long of a time and disappeared
and
in the golfing,
golf, yes.
Right, then it wouldn't be
that's
a story.
That's always great, playing so, golf while you're hurt. That's another
that
thing,
was, that
right?
was bad. I mean, I
disagree with that one, I mean, too, but that's fine.
I mean, why do you disagree with that?
Because I don't think it was a big deal. I really don't. So a guy playing golf, I just never thought that was a big deal.
You're a season ticket holder. I don't know. You got $25,000 locked up into your tickets, and you want to see Yoenis Cespedes play baseball, and you find out that he can't play baseball because he's hurt, but yet he's still on the golf course playing golf.
Right. He's not playing ice hockey. He was playing golf. I'm sorry. We disagreed on it last year. I'll disagree with it still.
Radio.
Boomer, you're wrong.
I mean, it sounded exactly the
I
same that
I just don't think
time,
it's
too.
A big deal.
Jerry, I'm very surprised.
He wasn't playing touch football in the street, running and sprinting.
I'm very surprised.
I know how I'm going to wear my uniform during a softball game, tell you that much.
Yeah, you can wear your
properly,
uniform.
Or you're going to be on in your car back home real
exactly.
quick.
I had a problem with that. Chris Sims, he was another one.
Oh, really?
I don't have pants. I don't have socks. I mean, like, I gave you pants, I gave you socks, and I gave you a uniform. Show up like you actually give a damn and you have a little pride in yourself. That's all. That's all I'm asking.
I never had pants.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Giants make a trade yesterday for a linebacker that most people think is really good, but Pro Football Focus thinks is one of the worst defensive players in the game. Boomer thinks that the Mets are going to go 0-162 because Yoenis Cespedes wears his hat backwards.
You know, that's putting words in my mouth once again. I mean, you do that with such, like I don't know, happiness in your voice.
Well, because I know, I believe that many understand the sarcasm in it.
Yes.
So that's why I say it in a different tone and the exaggeration of it. And we have odds, by the way, on Kirk Cousins. We've got Vegas odds on Kirk Cousins.
Nice. And I would imagine that Minnesota is still the prohibitive favorite.
Yeah, by a lot here. Yeah, you're right. Prohibitive is right.
Oh, maybe it's because of the reciprocal taxes that Minnesota has with Michigan.
Yeah, it could be. Now, what about Arizona, though? Is that a state that's got a lot of taxes?
Lower taxes, probably very similar to Michigan.
Okay, so the Vikings are 1-3.
Okay.
To land Kirk Cousins.
You did see that story that reciprocal taxes actually may play a role in this.
I did. Well, I heard that from you first.
Yeah. How long ago was that?
I don't know. A few days. I don't know. Maybe
days,
a week.
But a couple months ago.
Well, I don't.
You like that?
I do like that. Exactly. Thank you, Al.
But yes, you had that. Yeah. The Broncos are 10-3. The Jets are 5-1. And the Cardinals are 5-1 right now, according to Bovada. I don't know how the hell they know any of that. But
especially with the way that Cousins was tweeting out, hey, any suggestions, right?
Yeah, well, I don't think that he was being serious about that. You know, I mean, do you really think that he was looking for a Twitter suggestion and then, like, it's going to open up doors?
I don't know. You know, the other thing, too, then you start seeing some articles about the negativity of Kirk Cousins when he was in Washington and he didn't get the team to the next level. Yeah, well, that's because that team is about as dysfunctional as the administration running this country.
Yeah, I do.
Right? I mean, it's just like, you know, the collection of morons and lunatics that run that team and run this country. You have no idea.
Yeah, I also think, though, I mean, he's still not he's not a top five guy, not a top 10 guy,
yes.
In my opinion. It's not just the team he was on. I can't just do that. I can't just say, well, he was on a dysfunctional team, so now I have to believe that he had to get out. Now he's going to be amazing. I don't want him on my team. I don't want 1-3 for the Vikings. I do not. That's going to be a sad day for me when Kirk Cousins puts that purple uniform on.
And then he takes you to the Super Bowl.
I don't believe he's going to. That's
all
why
right.
I feel the way that I do.
Well, let's let the process play itself out before we get all tied up into it. And it's going to be a lot of fun to follow it. It's going to be great. We're going to hear a lot of different stories.
Listen, if we let the process play out before we tie into it, we're going to have a long couple of weeks.
But what I'm saying, until we get there,
yeah,
it's going
right.
to be awesome. I think it's going to be great. Let's go to Frankie in Verona. Frank, what's great. Happening?
Hey, Frank.
Morning, boys. I'm a teacher, and once in a while, and it's, you know, in a politically correct conversation, you're asked to describe a student that's a problem. Guess what words we use?
What's that?
High energy.
Yes.
Unique.
Hmm.
I mean, this is code for this guy's major issue at camp. And I doubt Joel Sherman would write an article about Yoenis Cespedes just because his hat is on backwards.
As opposed to being the kid's a pain in the ass, the kid has got no respect for authority, the kid is...
Why would he hide anything, though? What is Joel Sherman... if all that stuff is true, why
is
Joel Sherman...
We all know it's true.
Well, hold on a second, but why is he talking in code? Well, hold on, Frank. You have to talk, you said, in the politically correct world in a school. You have to speak like that and use those terms. Why does Joel Sherman have to hide anything in this article? If there's real factual stuff that's worse than what we saw here, why is he holding that back?
Joel Sherman has to cover the Mets all year, and he has to work with Mickey Callaway all year. This is a new manager.
There's guys out there like Manish Mehta who cover the Jets all year that slam that organization and the players in that locker room constantly.
And that's why Manish Mehta has no access to anybody in that organization.
Okay, so you're going to tell me that Joel Sherman is afraid of the Mets?
Manish Mehta is not about...
making this up?
I'm just saying that the stuff that's in there isn't that bad. Yet he's not making up his hat backwards because there's a picture of it.
Well,
and his hat's backwards.
Why would he write this article?
Why would he write the article? Because there's nothing going on. That's why he would write the article.
I mean, there's nothing going on
in spring training.
Don't we understand this? Yeah, but you also have to remember, Gio's 35 years old, you know, so he's a little young, a little inexperienced. And basically, you know, kind of like
you're
the new 56 way of thinking
about it. And you're dusty and old,
right,
and think of things in an archaic way. Everybody can go back and forth with that mentality thing.
Frankie, thanks for the call. Let's go to Andrew in Morristown. Andrew, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, Boomer and Gio?
Okay.
All right, listen, a few things. I played high school sports. I played lacrosse. If my coach ever saw us doing anything like Stan's doing, it's a joke. You can't do that as a professional athlete, I don't think.
Okay, do what exactly?
Put your hat on backwards. You're okay. Representing
what about team. Ken Griffey Jr.?
Okay, he is one exception. Fine, he's a Hall of Famer.
Okay, but he's allowed to put his hat on backwards. No one else, right? And that's a sign of what, the hat on backwards exactly? What does that do to everybody?
It just makes and Mickey Callaway actually is another example who he should have control of the organization.
Okay, so what do you want him to do? You want him to go and yell at Yoenis Cespedes and put his hat on straight and tell him to straighten up, or he's going to ship him out of here? I mean, what would you like him to do?
Well, what's it saying to the other players? What's it saying? All right, then I'll put my hat on.
Exactly. Well, no, answer your own question. What is it saying to the other players?
It's saying that, well, all right, we can do whatever we want.
No,
it's
not.
Lackadaisical.
No, it's a hat on backwards means lackadaisical.
You don't get this. I understand you don't get it. And it's going to be very frustrating for callers to have this discussion with you because you're just going to keep fighting and fighting and fighting.
Well, what do you want me to do? Just conform to your ridiculous opinion?
Let me ask you a question.
I'm not going to do that either.
Let's just put this all in context. So, who is the best professional run sports team in America these days?
The New England Patriots.
That's right. How many Super Bowl have they been to? How many Super Bowls have they been to?
Well, they've been to, eight or nine? They've won five.
Eight under Belichick.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Do you see any of those Patriot players?
Yes. Rob Gronkowski. The guy was dancing after a Super Bowl loss. He was drunk. I saw them employ a serial killer. Let's see what else. They signed Michael Floyd straight out of a DUI. They brought in Chad Ochocinco, who was the biggest me player I've seen in the last 15 years. I'm going to keep going.
How long did he last?
Okay. Gronkowski lasted. Aaron Hernandez lasted.
Obviously, we touched a nerve here because I haven't even asked the question. I haven't even asked the question yet. You are giving me answers of a question that I didn't even
ask
you.
It's all perception.
So what I was asking you is
Chandler Jones showed up at a police station because he took synthetic marijuana trying to rip his own face off.
And where was Chandler Jones the next year?
Okay, but he played the next week, didn't he?
It takes time to go through the whole thing.
Played the next week.
And can I ask you a question without you jumping down my throat?
No,
all
because
upset.
No,
I was saying that in this day and age of social media, all right, there's the Le'Veon Bells of the world who you love because
I don't love him.
No, you love him because he's tweeting up a storm.
No, I've never
said that. He's Instagramming his face off.
Talk about putting words in my mouth.
And you love to discuss that, and you love to take issue with him acting like that the way he does, saying that that is not a conformist to the team. That's an individual that's screaming and yelling. You think he's a bizarre person. My question to you is, if the New England Patriots are the best-run organization in all of professional sports, which I do agree they are, and somehow, some way, that that roster during the season, before the Super Bowl? Do they ever tweet anything out? Do they ever, you know, do they have a Facebook chat live from the locker room like Antonio Brown did? You know, do I often say to you that the reason that the Patriots never lose to the Steelers is because they're just not buttoned up enough, that they have all the talent in the world, but there's something missing? And that something missing is what the Patriots do have in spades when they put their collective team together. And that means that team basically follows the rules and prepares and doesn't get distracted with all the outside influences. And that's why the Steelers have fallen short so many times. It's that internal negative influence that somehow finds its way within the body of the team, especially when that team is in a big spot. Now, the Mets have not been in a lot of big spots. We all know that, and due in large part to injuries and all that other stuff. But I think what Joel Sherman is pointing to is what every coach, you know, hates, and that's having to deal with somebody with extra effort that, you know, this person needs to be patted on the back. This person needs to be, kind of softly handled. And
well, what question did you want me to answer?
Well, I did. I asked you. I said,
well, what was it?
Do you see other players from other teams tweeting out and
what is who tweets on the Mets?
But the point being is that there's a lack of conformity. Okay. There's a lack of teamwork. There's a lack of respect for what everybody else is doing, and you want to do your own thing.
Okay.
That has, I'm sorry, it does have a negative influence.
Wasn't our country founded by nonconformists who rebelled?
Great, Eddie. That's awesome. That's wonderful. That's great. So, no, let me ask you a question. Do when we come to work here, the six of us that are part of this radio program,
yes,
every single day, do we work together as a team?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, is if one of us is late all the time, habitually late, somebody that's lazy, somebody that's not prepared, somebody that doesn't put their best foot forward, would we all recognize that? I would like to think we would say something about that. Would we not?
Yes, and thankfully we haven't had that instance.
Thankfully we haven't had that.
Okay.
And hopefully it doesn't happen.
Right.
And hopefully, you know, the new guy doesn't come.
Oh,
you know,
give
you
me
know,
a. Don't even do know. That to me. I mean, give me a break. Don't even try. I've never been late in my life. I mean, I
you've had to deal with a lot of stuff lately. A lot of stuff.
Right, exactly. Do you hear complaining about this or that or anything? I'm here. I'm doing a show. I'm listening to your horrible arguments, and I'm taking it. That's what I'm doing.
Boomer, you're wrong.
So okay. Try to put new guy on me. Nonsense.
Well,
give me a break.
I just got to make sure the new guy, you know, and you know what? You've proven yourself to be a part of the team.
Right. Well, that's great. I will continue to do that.
Yes, exactly. Right. So why shouldn't everybody else be asked to do the same thing when they work for a team?
Okay, right. But I also don't think, and I told you the things. See, this is where our disconnect is. I told you the things I didn't like with Cespedes. The stuff that I've heard this morning in this article is just, it's nothing to get upset about.
All
it
right,
really
let's go
is
to
not.
Cliff in Lake Grove. Cliff, what's happening?
Boomer, this time I agree with you 100%. I'm 53 years old. I'm kind of old school like you. But it's not just wearing the hat backwards with the Cespedes guy. You mentioned some things, not running out balls. Last year, he's got to wear the canary yellow. Is that the color of the Mets?
No, it's not.
So that's disrespect. There was a time when I coached Little League in Queens. I pulled my own son off the field for putting his hat on backwards. I agree with you. It's respect, and it rolls downhill.
It does.
Like you said, the younger players and the lesser players, they look up to Cespedes, but he is all about I. He's not about team. And secondly, last year, at the very beginning of the year, he was on an interview with a female reporter from SNY. I can't remember her name. But he was speaking English, and he was saying his goal is to be the MVP of the league. And that's his goal this year. He never says his goal is to help take his team and organization to the World Series. It's always about him.
Well, wasn't it Jacob DeGrom or Matt Harvey that said he wanted to win a Cy Young? Didn't one of those two guys say that? It was one of the Met pitchers said he wanted to win a Cy Young this year. So
it is get on a mound once a week.
Okay, that's different because it doesn't support my argument. That's totally different.
Well,
give me a break. I mean, you can't not everybody can do the boomer formula that when you give them a good counter argument, you back it up with facts, you just move on and go, it's different, or you hit another call that agrees with you.
Well, let's go to Mike in Hazlitt, New Jersey. Mike, what's happening?
Hey, Boom. Gio, what's going on?
Hey, all Mike.
So, Gio, we go to the World Series. The next year we come back, and we're riding horses in because Cespedes wants to bring six cars that are worth $500,000 apiece, and all these young guys follow suit. How can you like this guy in the clubhouse? How can you like him?
There's a couple of things that I don't like about him. I don't think the cars are an issue. I don't think the hat's an issue. And I also don't think they go to the World Series without him either. So, I mean.
These young guys are not making anywhere near the money.
Well, give me the specific example of a guy whose career has been impacted negatively by Yoenis Cespedes. Give me that example.
Chill. The guy doesn't play baseball right. He throws the ball in underhand from the outfield.
All right, right? All these young guys,
you Brandon,
Mike.
I'm just saying.
I hear you.
You have Brandon Nimmo now, right?
And he's been negatively impacted by the way Yoenis Cespedes does stuff.
Gio, it's all about character in baseball.
Is it?
That's all. I would say to Mike, for anybody that's on a team sport, and I don't, it could be lacrosse, could be hockey, could be anything. You know, when I think of Michael Jordan, I always look at him as like the preeminent guy that knew how to lead a team. I mean, because he led by example. He practiced his ass off. Right. It's legendary stuff. Yeah. Legendary stuff.
And he had to leave the sport because he had a horrific gambling problem, and the commissioner told him to go away for a couple years.
Well, Peyton Manning didn't have to leave the sport. And Peyton Manning was a tremendous leader. Tom Brady, tremendous leader. Mm-hmm. I could go on and on and on and on and on and on for guys that, you know, have done it the right way and – other guys have seen how that guy has reacted.
You know what? I agree with you. Yoenis Cespedes is not Peyton Manning. You win.
When you talk to like you know the guys at the Patriots, you talk to I don't know Julian Edelman, you talk to Danny Amendola, you talk to Chris Hogan. They'll tell you all the same thing. They'll tell you that the reason that they are the way they are is because of the leaders that run that football team. And it's not just Tom Brady. There are other guys on that team like the McCourty. You know, Patrick Chung, all those guys do it a certain way, and you either fall in line or you're gone.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Oh, thank God Jerry's back.
Man. I appreciate you defending me.
Man, I tell you. Well, it's not what you were saying. I mean, that guy was making a completely different point than what you were saying.
Yeah, you know what's amazing? You guys I'm not trying to make out the hat on backwards being the big issue. It's just part of the issue. It's just part of the perceived lack of respect. So it's just one little thing of a number of things. It's not just wearing a hat backwards, which is now, it seems like, where we are focused on. But
the one who brought it up.
Well, I brought it up because it was written about today in today's paper, and mm-hmm. I think Joel Sherman made a lot of good points, that's all. And I do believe that there is a example that a leader on a team will set, and that example comes in in a lot of forms.
I've thought about this. Lawrence Taylor was a drug addict.
And Bill Parcells pacified him. And
they won twice.
Him. Yeah, I get it.
Mickey Mantle played games drunk.
Max McGee was hungover in Super Bowl I.
You know, Hall of Famers.
I get it. There's always, you can find a million examples of that, and I can find a million examples of the Peyton Mannings and the Tom Bradys of the world.
Of course.
And the Drew Breeses of the world.
What makes the world go round.
And the Michael Jordans of the world, and the LeBron Jameses of the world, and the Russell Westbrooks of the world, the guys that bust their ass every time they're out there, when they're on the practice court, when they're on the ice. You know, I could tell you about, you know, the great, you know, hockey captains of the world. And how they performed on the ice and in practice and how they prepared themselves and how everybody in the team responded to that. And I guess, you know, hockey would be the best form of that because they wear the C on their chest. And if you have a C on your chest, there's a reason why you have that C on your chest. Yoenis Cespedes would never have that C on his chest unless they put it on him to try to, you know, put pressure on him to act a different way. Because the way he acts about a lot of different things, whether it be, you know, loafing down the first base.
Hold on, stop there, because that's another one.
Wearing the yellow,
you know what?
Armband.
Derek Jeter loafed down the first base once in a while, too. We make it seem like he doesn't run out ever. Every Major League Baseball.
You are now comparing Derek Jeter.
I'm taking one little point that you just said about not running out of ground ball when 99.99% of all Major Leaguers do not run out every ground ball, especially when you get to the month of June, July. You're wrong. You got to be kidding me with this crap.
Sports history.
Come on,
man. You are comparing Yoenis Cespedes to Derek Jeter.
No, I'm not. I'm not, because they're not in the same class. I'm not comparing. wearing them. The idea, though, that you keep coming back to the fact that Yoenis might just loaf out a ground ball, that it's unique
but
to
Jerry,
every
but Jerry,
other
but
major
Jerry,
league ball
but
player
Jerry,
is not fair.
Again, you're taking one of these. So he wears a hat on backwards. He loafs down the first base. You
just
go
win.
Go through a few more things. Let's go.
Mickey Mantle mocked the fact that he hit a home run drunk and that he was able to get around the bases.
That's great.
Terrible
That's
example.
Mickey Mantle.
It's a terrible example of his teammates.
Yes, and I wouldn't stand for any of this crap. But that's not. I'm not worried about.
So when you coach, you would not stand for anything.
No, because as I think with
somebody else that has to deal with it,
it's not somebody else. It's an adult man who's being paid millions of dollars to go out and hit home runs
and
win. And you know who likes it? A lot of those guys in the clubhouse. Was Noah Syndergaard not coming in on horseback with him a couple of years ago? Do we have a big chuckle about that? Yeah. That was fun.
What about Joe Maddon and all the stuff he does? I mean, how quirky he is. How do you think Joe Maddon would handle this situation? I mean, the guy is regarded as one of the best managers in baseball. He shows up as the Mets manager. Is he going to let Cespedes do what he wants? I mean, Joe Maddon lets these. I mean,
he might have backward hat day.
Right, exactly.
He might.
He might petition Major League Baseball to wear hats backwards during games because right. that, I mean, that's
sadly. I don't. No, no.
If you guys want to be, you know, supportive of this, and you want to okay this kind of behavior, then that's fine. That's your point of view. I'm not gonna change your mind. I'm not trying to change your mind. I'm just telling you where I'm coming from.
I agree with where you're coming from, except that there are exceptions. There have been through the course of time, and there will be going forward. You've played with guys like that. You've played against guys like that. Like it or not, it's fact.
Okay. It's fine.
Give us an update, please, Jerry. No. Please. I want to hit the eject button on this particular situation.
I just put a poll up. Does it bother you that Cespedes wears his hat backwards?
Here we go. How about you should put a poll up? Does it bother you that Cespedes does the drills the way that he wants to do the drills as opposed to the way that the coach wants him to
There's
do
the drills?
There's
not enough characters on Twitter.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you put your poll out there yesterday, right? We saw it.
Then loafing down first base and then underhanding the ball in from the outfield.
I love the underhanding the ball from the outfield. That's awesome.
And wearing the yellow canary arm. Armband.
Yes, that was unity. You know how many guys started doing that on the Mets? You know how many of those they sold at Modell's?
Right.
That's they did a fun. Giveaway with them as well.
Yes. Like, why can't you have any fun in your life? Just once, come to work and just have all the crap off your shoulders, smile and say, God damn it, I'm Boomer and I'm fun.
Get off my lawn. I like Jerry telling someone to be in a good mood.
I know. That's how negative you've been this morning.
You want to know what fun is? Fun is winning.
Okay, and he took them to the World Series. If it wasn't for him, they wouldn't have gone to the World Series. Okay. God.
Was it for all of them?
Oh, okay,
shut up.
Because that offense was great before they got Cespedes.
This is fun.
Their offense was unbelievable.
Daniel Murphy didn't do anything to help them.
Okay, yeah, that was mostly in the postseason.
They would have never got there, though, if it wasn't for Cespedes.
Was he pitching, too, as well? I didn't realize that was
him. No, but he carried that team, and you know he did.
That team would have made it to the World Series without Cespedes?
That's not fair.
Time out. I'm not saying that he did not have, like, 2 months of great baseball. Yes, he did, but... There were other people on that team. He was not out on that field by himself. I'm sorry.
Right. Wilmer Flores was crying all night. That was that season, if you remember. If it wasn't for that, he wouldn't even have been here. And the team would have went. So, all good. Yeah. Smile. Fun.
This is fun.
Yay!
We're brought to you by Credit Karma. Get your truly free credit score. Yes, that's right. And free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app today. Credit Karma, get knowing. Well, we're going to get knowing on Alec Ogletree. Who's he? He's the new Giants linebacker. They agreed to acquire him from the Rams.
What's that?
Ranked number what?
830 out of 856.
That's not a good number. But the Giants like him. They got him. It'll become official next week. They give up their fourth and sixth round selections for him. Also, Michael Bennett goes from the Seahawks to the Eagles. And Martellus Bennett released by the Patriots, a move that was expected. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones reportedly reimbursing the NFL for more than $2 million legal fees and all that nonsense last week with the last year with the contract and all that stuff where he put them through the ringer. Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell on Instagram. I will indeed play next season. Not thrilled with the franchise tag, but he will.
I'm going to be in the facility week one. This is going to be a rerun of last year.
Now he says he'll play, but that's about all you can expect from him.
I'm not going to go to camp. I'm not doing nothing else, extra OTAs, none of that. I'm going to strictly go to what I have to go to.
He hurts himself in that too, doesn't he? Because the first game he played last year, he was bad.
He wasn't in shape.
He wasn't ready. You know, so I think he thinks he's hurting the team, and that's sort of like his way of getting back at him because he's not getting fined at that point, at least not significant money, but he's really hurting himself.
He says there's no way he would actually sit.
I want to win every game. I want to have, you know, the best statistical career that I possibly can. So I want to play in every game that I possibly can play.
Now, this was a question on why he started the thought of possibly not playing.
Me saying I was going to sit out was more emotional at the time. So when I was asked the question, that's the way I felt at that time.
So it's gone. He'll be there, and he's going to play. That's stupid. From baseball, Yankees beat the Mets 11-4 in spring training action. Don't glare at me. Billy McKinney did hit a grand slam. Travis d'Arnaud homered in this game as well. Here was the clip on CC Sabathia saying he believes in this Yankee pitching staff.
It's a good rotation. If we stay healthy, I think it'd be one of the best. It's just a matter of us staying healthy. We got the arms and the talent to do it, but, you know, it's – like it's just a matter of health.
Now, Masahiro Tanaka was asked if he agrees with CC.
Yeah, I'm definitely with CC on that.
Now, Tanaka spoke for a while. I'll give you 11 seconds with his he's speaking to his translator and listen to his translator's noises. Just weird.
Pitching のこうメカニクスだったり、そのなんか感覚的なところでのこうちょっと鋭さが自分のこうなんだろう投げていく中でのこう鋭さっていうのが少しずつこう出てきた。
Was Tanaka petting him while
that
was going on?
Oh, man. I have no idea. It's just very, very strange. Hal Steinbrenner was there. He says, hey, look, it's Sweeney.
When Brian's been asked if...
Have you been here the whole time?
I have. Have you missed me?
No, I've seen... I don't know.
I just blend in.
You sure you're every day?
I'm here every day, Hal.
Right. Yeah, we are pretty sure that Sweeney has been there every day. Hal was asked his thoughts of Aaron Boone, his new manager.
Calm, cool, collect. Got a good sense of humor.
Good. He'd be good to go on a date with. Now go manage the baseball team. So we'll see how they do, and it should be fun.
He likes long walks on the beach. Jesus.
That's right. Here's Zach Wheeler. So he pitched yesterday. He got the start. 3 scoreless innings and 4 strikeouts. He says doing the best he can.
I can't help whatever. Everybody else is doing. I just worry about myself and go out there and try to get myself the best.
You look like Matt Patricia with the red on and the hat backwards and the beard.
Right.
I told Al to go get him a pencil, and Al said they can't find a pencil anywhere around here. Nobody actually has a pencil.
Well, who would have a pencil these days? You know, what are we taking?
Why would you have a pencil?
The SAT?
Like a pencil. I like a pencil.
Like a pencil.
Yeah, I do. I got the weight thing going, the beard, the red, and then the blue hat.
That's right.
Yeah, but I've got the hat backwards so everybody knows. Just want to make sure that everybody realizes I put the hat on backwards. So, and it looks like...
Evan Roberts is a big hat on backwards guy, too.
Right.
It's when he does the show.
He's see, look at the positive influence I have on the team building here. Look at this. You see that?
That or we're fractured right now. I'm not sure. Here's Mickey Callaway. Expectations of Cespedes.
Cespedes can be the man.
So let's hope he is the man.
Look at Izzo's got his hat on backwards too here. I mean, Al, you want to join the revolution or no? Are you too afraid of Boomer?
I'm not a big hat backwards guy.
Oh, there's a shock.
I'm hat forwards.
Yankees.
Get off my lawn.
Yankees, Phillies today. Luis Severino, the start. Mets take on the Nationals. Noah Syndergaard, Steven Strasburg, the starters there. All right, Big East tournament at the Garden. First round play last night. St. John's and Georgetown.
Ahmed, trapped by Derrickson. Tosses the ball to Simon. Races the ball. Lead pass up court goes to Clark for a perimeter 2. Good from the left side.
That's a 3.
Marvin Clark hits a 3-point shot. So the home run shot by Clark. Put St. John's ahead 76-68.
That is John Minko. Right in there as well. St. John's IMG
Does Brandon
Radio.
Brandon interrupt him the whole game?
No. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think he does either. He was just exceptionally smothering during that clip.
Well, I mean, Minko called it as a
smothering.
Tierney was.
I don't know
Tierney
that was smothering. I think John didn't realize the foot was on the line, was behind the line, so he just helped him out that it was a 3. That's okay. Not okay. No.
It's Hello? Just there was a lot there, man.
You got to let the guy do it. You got to let him explain what's happening.
I think for the most part he does. I don't think that that's an issue.
What a bore.
Wouldn't it be funny if Mink just lost it on tape? Will you shut up? I'm trying to call the game. For crying out loud. I've had enough of you.
That would be funny. Here's Shamari Ponds. He had 26. No issues with the abdominal strain.
Prior practice before the game, I was feeling good. So, I mean, it didn't give me no pain or anything. I was in pain no mind to it. So I played through it.
And now he made all Big East, right? Is he the player?
I don't know.
First team, yeah.
Good for him.
Have they announced the player of the year in the Big East?
I don't believe so. I don't know.
I don't know the answer.
Yeah, I would imagine he's in the running for it, but I don't know if on a team that has a losing record, you'd get it, right?
Right, probably not. No, especially when you've got teams like Villanova and Xavier and all that stuff. But he's been fantastic, and I really hope he doesn't leave for the NBA because I think that would be a mistake.
And I figure this one's right up your alley, Boomer, because this is what we were discussing yesterday. Patrick Ewing, where did it all go wrong? Basically, too many three-point attempts. They were 12 for 32 from the outside.
We got too happy with it. We stuck with it too much. We need to be able to, you know, when we're playing our game, we're inside out. We post. We shoot our threes.
Right, meaning do everything, and they were just locked in on the three-point shot last night. Too many, too many, too many. St. John's came back from down 6 at the half, outscored them in the second half, 46-29. So they advance. They play very quickly. They play Xavier at 12 noon. That's the one seed.
Man, that's unfair.
Nothing fair or easy about that for sure. Providence-Creighton, the second game this afternoon. Now Marquette won last night. They play Villanova tonight, and then Seton Hall takes on Butler in the late game. ACC tournament at Barclays Center. You had North Carolina beating Syracuse last night, 78-59. Louisville and number one Virginia at noon. BC and Clemson follows that. Then tonight, Notre Dame and Duke. North Carolina, Miami as well. Rockets beat the Bucks 110-99. 17 straight wins for Houston. James Harden had 26. Also of note, the Raptors have won 13 of 14, beat the Pistons in overtime 121-119. And the Cavaliers beat the Nuggets 113-108. 39 points, 10 assists for LeBron James, who was a highlight reel film all by himself last night. Tonight, the Nets visit the Hornets. The Rangers are in Tampa. Islanders skate in Edmonton. And the Devils take on the Jets at the Rock.
All right, Jerry, thank you.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
So I did tease something, and I want to get your take on it, right?
Yeah.
First, I want you to know one thing, and a friend of mine texted me this in regards to our discussion with Yoannis Cespedes, right? The A's traded him while leading the division at the deadline 3 years ago, okay?
Mm-hmm.
To Boston. After 2 months, Boston then traded him to Detroit, and then Detroit traded him at the deadline to the Mets. That would be four teams in one calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
He then behaved 3 months for the Mets, and once they paid him, now they have the real Yoannis Cespedes. So it's kind of like, you know, what I'm getting at. So it's just, hey, look, I hope.
So you're predicting
a
horrendous year for him.
No, I'm not predicting that.
I'm
hoping that he bounces back after an injury-plagued year in which he played golf when he was injured, which really sucks and tells you all you need to know about a guy. But I would just say this, that it's in order for our team to win, my team to win, the Mets to win, we need him to be all in.
Absolutely.
And I have to have him at the top of his game. And if Mickey Callaway can babysit his ass to get him to play better, then I'll be happy about it. Now, I was asking you a question, or I was pointing or teasing a question to you about the NFL Combine, and we were discussing this off the air. So Darius Geis, who's a running back for LSU, he was the backup to Leonard Fournette a couple years and then took over last year. He's one of, I think, two or three backs in the SEC to have multiple 250-yard games on the ground. Herschel Walker had a couple of those. Oh, Bo Jackson had a couple of those. So this young man is probably a pretty damn good football player, right?
Yeah, but you wouldn't think so.
And he's one of a group of very deep group of running backs in the NFL. There were two questions that were asked to him, I think by one particular team. I'm not sure if it was multiple teams that asked him this. One question is, do you like men?
Okay.
And the other question was, essentially, is your mom a prostitute?
Which we've heard before, both instances, right? At Dez Bryant, that was a big deal. They asked if his mom was a prostitute.
Right. So, you know, and supposedly the NFL back then after Dez Bryant said these questions are out of bounds, these questions shouldn't be asked, these questions, you know, are not going to be ever asked again. And here we are, what, 4 or 5 years, 6, 7 years later, and you have a running back for LSU that basically came out and told Sirius XM Radio that these are the questions that are being asked of him.
Right. Now, I think that I'd have to talk to the team to find out exactly why they're doing this.
Why do you think they're doing it?
Well, no, there could be a couple of reasons. All right. Like, let's say that they are conscious of someone being a bigot. Right. Like if you're they're looking for an answer. Someone says, you like men? And he goes off. He's like, no way. You kidding me? I could never be in a locker room with a homosexual and blankety blank.
Really blank. Think that's why they asked him that.
Well, I'm trying to look at every angle. Now, let me get to it for a second. Now, if that's what they were doing, and they told me that we wanted to see how he reacted, I'd be OK with it. If they were asking him, do you like men, because they were afraid he was gay and there's negative things in their minds that went with that and they didn't want a PR deal or they thought he was some certain mentality that didn't fit their football team, I think that's ridiculous and that should not be happening. It should not be happening.
Should they be allowed to ask the question?
I don't believe so, no, because I think that in an environment like this, in radio or any other job interview, that would be strictly prohibited. So why is it okay, you know, in the NFL? I know it's a different type of deal. It's a different type of business.
Well, it shouldn't be allowed in the NFL. I think that's what the NFL is trying to get away from.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it's offensive, and it should be
so
outlawed.
Whoever that team is going to have sensitivity training now, and then the whole league is going to have sensitivity training, right?
But what if they came back to you and said, we want to see how this guy reacted because it's a different world now, and we got to make sure that we're not – because remember, I mean, the backlash that Tim Hardaway got –
Is your mom a prostitute?
Well, I mean, that's, of course,
another –
What about
that question?
Yeah, that is – I mean, I don't –
Well, how do they phrase it? Did your mom sell yourself or something?
This is what I
want to sell herself or something.
I don't understand why they're asking. Tell me why they're asking the question about the mom being a prostitute. Is that to rattle the cage and to see if
how he reacts to it?
Right.
Is he going to go half cocked off? Or is he going to get angry about it? Or
well, that's what I'm saying. Like, are they asking because they're afraid about his upbringing and they have ideas about who he is based on his family life? Or are they doing that because that could hit a nerve and they want to know how this guy reacts to certain situations like that? That's what I need to know, because I really do think that the place that these questions are coming from matters. And it seems ridiculous on the surface.
So then what you would have to have is you would have to have the person who asked that question and the team who asked that question to tell you why they are asking that question as to whether or not you think that question should be allowed to be asked.
Right. And what answer are you looking for? Like, what's the right answer in that situation? What's the right reaction, I should say, in that situation? Do you want to see the guy get mad? Do you want to see him stand up and say, how dare you suggest that about my mom? Is that the thing that you want? Or do you want him to laugh it off and be like, absolutely not? You know, so that's why there's obviously a philosophical, psychological
also,
thing that goes on here that I'm not privy to.
But I also think, so there's a, there seems to be a very racist aspect to this. And there also seems to be an obvious, you know, homophobic aspect to this.
Right. That's what it seems like.
That's why I do not like the questions.
Right.
I do not.
It should never happen.
And I don't know how this young man grew up. They would know how this young man grew up. If they asked him that question knowing how he grew up,
then that's a big problem.
Then that is even a bigger problem for me. So whoever the Neanderthal is that asked those questions, I'm sorry. You know, that person should be fired immediately from their job. And I don't know who asked it, and only he knows who asked it, and only he knows the team that asked it. And I would hope that the NFL would go into a deeper investigation into this, because it sounds to me that not only is the question, are the questions off base, if they knew even more about this guy, and in some way, shape, or form, there was a rumor out there that he was possibly
gay,
out there that his mom was a prostitute, or anything. And they ask these questions. I'm sorry.
Those that's horrendous.
Because you are asking about you're almost asking a player about his sexual orientation, which is absolutely
right.
It just inherently makes me angry as all get out. You know what I'm saying?
So in your mind, is there any excuse to throw stuff like that out to a player to see how he reacts? Because I mean, it's borderline for me. It is. I mean,
But I'll tell you one thing. These teams know everything there is to know about these players. They know. They know who these players are.
So you're saying there's no shot that they're just trying to rattle the cage? That you think that the most likely situation is that they have some information that supports either one of those things?
I pray to God that that's not the case.
But is that the most likely situation?
I feel like it is, but I hope that
Then it's a different, then it's a different
like
ballgame.
I don't like the questions either way. I don't like them either way. But if there's some sort of rumor that he may be gay or bisexual or whatever else, and they ask him that question, I find that to be extremely offensive. And then on top of that, if his mom, unfortunately, I had to go down that road or whatever, then that would even make me that much more angry.
I'm with you on that.
The NFL should do a much deeper investigation in that regard.
It was Jeff Ireland the first time around, right, with the Miami Dolphins with Dez Bryant. That was the guy. And then you heard a lot of other stuff about him after that. I remember Ryan Clark was outspoken about that.
I get the whole Neanderthal thing. It's a man sport. I understand that. I kind of understand where they're coming from, but there are certain things that should not be out there or should not be asked. And I think that they're going down a road in both situations here where they have crossed the line and they should be held accountable.
I'm just picturing the first day that I walked in here to try out and sitting down in a chair and you going, Your mom a prostitute? You gay? What are you? What's wrong with you? Ah, I don't know.
I would never do that. You know that. Let's go to Jimmy in Westfield. Jimmy, what's happening, brother?
Jim.
Boomer and Gio, what's going on?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Big morning. Prostitutes and backwards hats.
Oh, yeah. Right, exactly.
So, had a call up, and numerous people talking about Cespedes and comparing it to high school sports, and I can't even fathom the two being compared. In high school, you're trying to mold men, and Boomer, you say this all the time. A freshman in high school, I mean, is a 13-year-old kid, whereas if you're a senior and you're trying to tell the kid to act a certain way, it's because you're trying to put an impression on a young kid. If Brandon Nimmo looks at Yoenis Cespedes and thinks that he has 1/50th of the talent that that man has, he's a moron, and I don't want him on my team anyway. So, like, they're grown men. It's a different progression in where they're at in their lives, and you really can't treat them like high school players. It's just not the same ballgame.
So you're saying that if Yoenis Cespedes is hurt and he wants to go play golf, or Yoenis Cespedes doesn't want to shag fly balls, you're allowing him to do whatever he wants whenever he wants. You don't want him
to.
It's
not what he's saying.
Well, it sounds like it is.
No,
No. If they win, this is not an issue if they win. They won 2 years ago. They came back and went to the postseason, which nobody remembers. And I'm not a Mets fan. They went to the wild card game and got, and yeah, they lost. But last year was a product of injury. I get it. There's some bad optics when it comes to Yoenis Cespedes. But nobody's paying him to run out ground balls. Nobody's paying
There you go. You're basically taking him off the hook then by saying nobody's paying him to run out ground balls. I'm sorry. You know, I'm just paying for effort. Can I ask for a guy to give maximum effort all the time? And then the day that you don't run out the ground ball and the guy throws it in the first row of the stands
still,
or something.
He'd still make it a first if he was jogging, if he threw it into the stands.
Right.
He'd be awarded first base.
Maybe Benny has
And
the
also,
answer.
A guy's got a history of hamstring injuries. If he's going to be out, it's a ground ball to shortstop. You know, take your time.
Well, maybe Benny has the answer. Wayne, what's up? Benny from Wayne, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Love the show. How's it going?
Hey.
Obviously this is a deeper-rooted issue than the hat being backwards, although I love Gio wearing the backwards hat to be rebellious. But so my thing is, well, Boomer, you said 2 months of good behavior from Cespedes. That's false because 2016, he was a top-10 MVP candidate. Obviously, he was on his best behavior when, you know, he came back. The Mets were 2 games under 500. He came back and ended up making the playoffs. But they talk about and Joel Sherman writes about in the article how he's catching fly balls behind his back and throwing balls in underhand. You know what? Is Cespedes going to catch every ball that's hit to him in the outfield? You know, not every ball. 90% of the balls that are hit to him in the outfield, yes. Is he going to show off the arm on April 1st to gun a guy down from third base? That's all I care about. I don't care what he's doing there. If he hits 30 home runs, 100 RBIs, and the other thing,
then you'll look the other way. You'll be fine.
Spring training, when you think about it, it's just like, God, it's monotonous. Especially, just stay healthy. Just stretch out, stay healthy, and don't screw up.
All right, let's go. I think let's go to Greggy in New Jersey. Sure. Greg, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Okay.
Great show going. Boomer, you're right on, man. I mean, all the individualism that takes place in whether it be high school, college, professional sports is one thing. But when you're not winning, it takes on a totally different air. If you're winning, individualism is fine. Look at Dennis Rodman with the Chicago Bulls in that Michael Jordan team. I mean, is there any better example of a guy that just busted his ass when he was on the court? Sure, he was his own thing. He was as eccentric as anybody was. But it didn't matter because they were winning. And so the common goal of winning, if you're winning and you're working towards the common goal of winning, that's one thing. But if you're setting yourself apart before you get to that point, then it just looks selfish.
Well, is winning strictly a championship?
You know, winning because, is the deodorant, is what it is.
But is it strictly a championship? Because with Cespedes on the team, I mean, they went to back-to-back postseasons for the first time since 99 and 2000. They went to a World Series for the first time since 2000. It was one year where he was hurt, where they had a horrendous year.
But, you know, as my buddy pointed out to me, you know, he did get traded to 4 different teams in 1 calendar year. The Red Sox couldn't take any more of it. The A's traded him right as they're in the midst of a chase for the pennant and the whole thing. So I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. You know, he's a different cat. You want to be supportive of that, that's fine. If you don't want to be supportive of that, like I'm not, but if he wins and he hits home runs and we win – then I'll be more likely to support him. But if he's not, and he's doing all this other crap, then I'm going to be all over his ass. You know that.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Let's go to John and Bayonne. Johnny, what's happening?
John.
Gio.
Hey, John.
Gio, how's the baby doing, that little girl?
She's doing great. She's actually a little gassy, if you want to know, and she's going to the pediatrician today because she's a little bit gassy, and when she gets gassy, she cries. But outside of that, she is doing phenomenal, and thanks for asking, John.
Well, can I give you a little advice with her?
Yeah.
I raised my daughter. She's 26, and I got her into sports, baseball, football, hockey,
yeah,
basketball. And I said, that's the only ball I want you playing with, you know?
No.
And guess what? She's 26. She's going to be a doctor of physical therapy, and she's still pure, you know? And I'm glad because I told her, you know, there's a lot of bums out there, you know? And you got to go out there and get the best. But as far as this NFL question, I think you should ask a guy if he's, I don't know how you could send it. Can you say gay, whatever it is?
You can't ask somebody that. It's against all, you can't.
Hold on one second. I just need to make sure I heard what I heard here. Al, what did you hear just then?
That the guy was telling us that his 26-year-old daughter is a virgin, I guess.
Is that what you heard, Eddie?
Yep. That's what I heard.
She's probably at work right now going, what did he say? He did what? Where?
Either that or she's still in therapy.
I mean, wow. What
takes
an
all
admission.
Kinds.
I mean, and he goes, I got her into soccer, I got her into softball, into volleyball, and that's the only ball I wanted her playing with?
She's pure.
Let's go to Mark in Hasbrook Heights. Mark,
wow.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me, guys.
You're welcome.
Mark, are you pure?
No.
No.
I had a question on Agle Ogletree's signing to the Giants.
Yeah, go ahead.
Trade.
Yeah.
I want to know if you guys think that this helps the Giants' defense become, like, I think last year we were a top 10 defense before the injuries. Now I'd say we're like 5 or 6.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves, you know, because what we got to see there, Mark, is we got to see how the new defense coordinator, you know, interacts with his team and whether or not this is going to be a welcome change for the Giants. All that, there's a lot of stuff that has to go on here, but I do think that Gettleman already, after he has, what, been here now as the general manager, what, for about 3 months?
Yeah.
Has already changed the way the team is viewed, I think. I think that he is trying to get players in here that are going to be aggressive, that are, and you saw that when the Rams played the Giants this year.
Yeah. The other thing I'd worry about, not to be a negative Nancy or whatever they say, but the worst grade that Ogletree got in his entire career with Pro Football Focus was last year, and last year he was in that 3-4 with Wade Phillips, and I read this morning in the LA Times that Wade Phillips wanted to jettison or suggested to jettison some of the guys that didn't fit his system, and
well,
that
he wanted to play it right.
Right, and that's, and Ogletree was one of those guys. Now, I don't know why they would give him that contract extension in October when this new regime was there, so that kind of works counteractively to that thought. Maybe that was just the writer suggesting that. But
I think it's also, when you look at the Rams and you look at their salary cap problems,
right,
and who they have to try to re-sign, that, you know, they're losing a bunch of players.
Well, Tremaine Johnson's hitting free agency. Right.
Sammy Watkins.
Right.
You
who
have
has been
Aaron Donald. But you have Aaron Donald. But you have a number of financial situations and considerations that they're trying to get to.
Yeah, no, I know. But they also knew all of that in October, and they still gave him the deal. So, I mean, this, you could really look glass half full, glass half empty with Ogletree. And to me, I mean, glass half full, there is a lot of stuff there for the Giants because they did give him that deal. He is a first-round pick. He was a captain of that defense. He does have really good numbers. And you could find reasons to believe that they would move on from him based solely on salary cap reasons and nothing else. But the evaluation
plus,
is the evaluation.
And plus, don't forget this, maybe the most important aspect to all of this is what do the Giants need desperately?
Well, I think a lot of stuff, but linebackers is
linebackers.
One of them.
Linebackers. Yeah, so they're trying to fill that. Look, you never know. I mean, but to me, it seems like it's a no-brainer. It's a good, solid trade, and I think it's going to work out well for the Giants. I'm happy that Gettleman did it because he's got a legitimate starting inside linebacker right now,
right,
ready to rock and roll.
I think one of the combine questions next year should be, are you pure? Pure, yes and no.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
We got some cool stuff up, some videos from yesterday if you want to check it out. The dividends of the hire of Tom Izzo already paying off. Massive digital content everywhere. So yesterday was a video of Al Dukes trying to find Harris Allen. You can check that out. The Peep Joust went up yesterday morning. Check that out. What else have we got up there? Tom, you got anything else on there? I feel like maybe we should do like a What Did Izzo Do Today? Or
mean tweets are up there.
Oh, the mean tweets for CMB are up there.
The vertical jumping thing.
Oh, that's right. That was from a couple days ago. So you can find that
Mikey
stuff.
Mikey Strong stuff.
Mikey Strong stuff as well. Yeah, very good. You can find that on our Twitter account, the WFAN Twitter account. And other places. On the website, too, that stuff get up on the website,
we
too.
We have a new website.
Yeah, brand new website. So now
it's on its way to the website.
Okay.
But we're still using dial-up, evidently, and it's not there yet.
Well, just basically go to Twitter. You can find that stuff. You know, follow all of us on Twitter. You can find the behind-the-scenes stuff for Boomer and Geo at WFAN Mornings and at WFAN 660. Content there. All right, Jerry. Jerry's back, and he's got an update for us. What's going on, Jerry?
Well, good morning. Let me play this for you. So this is Aaron Judge from this morning, and I guess there was something in the paper about him not doing the home run derby
anymore.
That's
right. Yeah.
So the reporters went to him to find out why, what happened. Is that possible? You're still going to do it? You're not going to do it?
Just in the moment. You know, I'd one and done. You know, home run derby champion. It was a cool experience. I enjoyed it all, but I don't think I really need to go out there and do it again. I just... one at once,
I guess he's done with it.
There's some people that swear that your swing's affected by it. Last year, of course, went into a big slump afterwards, took him a while to get back into it. Do you blame it all on that? I don't know. Did the team go to him? Whatever. But for me, you got to see him do it once, and he won. If you're a fan of the Yankees, I think that's like music to your ears, is
probably,
it not?
I would probably agree with that. Sweeney tried to push him on a little bit. Was that the reason for the slump, hurt shoulder, and he really wouldn't go there, at least in the first couple of minutes that I heard it and get to the last three. But so he addressed that this morning in Florida. The Yankees do play again today. They take on the Phillies. First start of the spring for Luis Severino. Mets will play the Nationals. Noah Syndergaard, Steven Strasburg will pitch the first few innings there. In terms of yesterday, those two clubs played one another. Here is Hal Steinbrenner. He knows it's been solid so far for his club.
It's early, obviously, but everybody's excited. You know, all the young guys that we hoped would be playing well are.
And they are so far, and we're still, a couple weeks away, 3 weeks away from the start of the new season. Mm-hmm. The luxury tax was a topic, I imagine, every time you talk to the owner of the Yankees, it will be, because he's been so outspoken about it.
That's absolutely my goal, Sweeney, still, to stay under the threshold. And we've got, as you know, a good deal of breathing room right now, so...
Yeah. Why do I get happy when I hear someone say Sweeney's name during the cut? Like, I don't know. I love that.
He's doing his job.
Yeah, I know. It's something about that, though. Yeah, absolutely, Sweeney. Like, I just, I don't
even
know.
If Hal didn't realize Sweeney had been there for a month.
Right.
Brian's been asked if
have you been here the whole time?
I have. Have you missed me?
No, I've seen, I don't know.
I just blend in.
You sure you're here every day?
I'm here every day, Hal.
Every day he's here, yes. And amazing. He got us the audio very quickly this morning of Judge. Here is CC Sabathia. Can't wait to see Stanton. Doing what he does at Yankee Stadium.
I'm excited to see what kind of numbers he can put up in our park. Obviously, he's going to be a good teammate. You know, he's getting along with the guys great, so it's exciting.
Also exciting to see Gary Sanchez.
Reminds me of like a young Manny Ramirez. So, that's enough to say it right there, I guess, right?
How about the Yankee starting pitching?
It's a good rotation. If we stay healthy, I think he'd be one of the best. It's just a matter of us staying healthy. We got the arms and the talent to do it, but, you know, it's just a matter of health.
Man, CeCe's full of hot takes these days,
he is.
Huh? Jeez.
You know what? He's in the twilight of his career. He pitched great last season. Why the hell not?
Yeah, just says whatever's on his mind. Just throw it out there.
Severino coming back. Here's Mickey Callaway. So Zach Wheeler, a good start. Three innings. But he struck out four, all good.
No, Wheeler looks really good. Good velo on the fastball. There's some really good breaking balls in there.
Now, he says the pitchers at the back end of that rotation for the fifth starter spot, really, he's got a lot to think about.
It's a battle. I mean, it's a battle. You know, some guys are impressive.
Talking about Lugo, Gazelman, Mats has been bad, as we know. You got Vargas, you got Wheeler, all for just a couple of spots.
But don't you think Vargas is going to be in there no matter what, though?
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's a lock. Probably.
Yeah, but I mean, what else are you going to do with him? I mean, this is a guy who's not going to have any minor league options anymore. You went out there and you signed him.
He was also awful in the back part of last season.
Right,
so.
But they knew that when they gave him the money.
You're right.
So I think he's 100% in that rotation.
I think, though, if Zach Wheeler continues to pitch like this and Mats all of a sudden finds it, I don't know that you automatically give Vargas a spot.
Yeah, but it's that minor league option thing. You know, I mean,
you got to throw your best five out there.
Yeah, I know, but that's what they're going to look at. And I don't know if they're going to judge everything just by the month and a half of spring. You know, I think they're going to look at the totality of it. Got a veteran lefty in there, and we're going to just plug them right in.
Perhaps. Yeah. I still think they'd rather Mats and Wheeler be 4-5.
Yeah, it'd be great if they both came out humming.
Met fan.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that, but I still think it's going to be Vargas 100% has a spot in that rotation if he's healthy, of course.
Now, speaking of health, Rosario and Dominic Smith, well, not yet.
It's valuable reps and playing time that they're missing, so that it's a concern.
The good news on Rosario is it looks like he'll be back soon. Dominic Smith. No idea what's going on there. So the spring does continue later today. All right, we get to the college basketball because St. John's did play last night, opening round of the Big East tournament. They took on St. John's. We present to you John Minko.
Out of the corner, Mosley for three. No good. And the rebound, battle four, into the hands of Simon. And it's off to the races once again. And Justin Simon now will slow the tempo just a little bit. Now accelerates down the right side. Yep. The lane, his runner is up and good. It'll count and a chance for a three-point play. Justin Simon changes speed on his way to the hoop.
That's a good call by Mace.
See, I knew that ball was going in before the week even said it because Brandon said, yep.
He said, yep. That's right.
I know it was in.
Just let it breathe, will you?
Yeah. Well... those two, I imagine, will be back at the Garden for a noon tip today. Woo! As St. John's advances right to take on Xavier. Here was Patrick Ewing. His season, I imagine, is over. I don't think there'll be any postseason basketball now for them. How did year one go?
Right now, it's hard to reflect on it. I just have a bitter taste in my mouth right now.
Now, they beat St. John's twice this year, but lose to them in the tournament. So I mentioned St. John's, Xavier at noon. Then it's Providence and Creighton at the Garden. Tonight, you've got Marquette and Villanova, and then Seton Hall will take on Butler. The Giants agreed to acquire Rams linebacker Alec Ogletree and a 2019 seventh-round pick for their fourth- and sixth-round selections. And Michael Bennett goes from the Seahawks to the Eagles. And there's all these stories. I know you guys talked about it, about Richard Sherman telling teammates he's expecting to be released by Seattle. We'll see if that does happen. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones reportedly reimburses the league for more than $2 million in legal fees when he struck up all that stuff with Roger Goodell's contract. Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell answering questions. And where does he do that? His Instagram account. He was taking questions from fans, I suppose, and his followers, and he answered the question about him playing, not playing, what he's planning on doing now that he got the franchise tag.
Am I going to sit out if I don't get paid? Honestly, no. I'm not going to sit out.
He says, count me in instead.
I'm going to be in the facility week one. Is this going to be a rerun of last year?
Meaning he won't be at anything else, basically. The spring workouts, the training camp, all the OTAs, any of that, you're not going to see him.
I wonder why he would go and say that yesterday. Because doesn't that, I mean, I guess the Steelers wouldn't buy into his claims of retiring or sitting out the entire year anyway.
Right.
But, I mean, it's almost like you're giving up a chance at leverage by saying that. Because now the Steelers are like, okay, fine, we know we're going to have him next year, so why are we going to negotiate if he's going to show up and do the same thing, right? Okay, he's not going to be here at training camp. Big deal, we're going to have him week one. It's an odd thing.
Maybe he realized what he said really was stupid.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he does have that self-awareness. But I'm glad to hear that at least because I thought it was going to get uglier than that. I didn't think that he was just going to that easily be like, yeah, I'll be there week one and play for the tag.
Well, I don't necessarily know that between now and the start of the season, it doesn't get ugly.
Yeah, it's true. I guess if they come to him with an offer that he's insulted by, then all of a sudden things change. But as of right now, he's playing nice.
No doubt. NBA, the Houston Rockets are a sight to be seen because they just win, and win more.
Swing pass to Harden between the circles. Shot clock at 5. Top of the key. To the lane. James, right hand. Scoop and score. Harden with 23 on his 8th field goal of the game. And another 3-point opportunity for... Mr. Harden.
And that is Craig Ackerman with the call. Make it 17 straight for Houston as they win on the road in Milwaukee, 110-99.
Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Can they win 4 out of 7 games against Golden State? That's what this whole thing comes down to.
Don't know.
They could have this great run. And by the way, they've won 17 straight. They're only one game in front of Golden State for the number one seed.
Well, they don't lose much either. Yeah,
I know that, but there are. But just think about that for a second. You're saying, and we laud them, and we talk about how great D'Antoni's doing with Chris Paul and with James Harden and everything else. They've won 17 straight. They're one game ahead of Golden State.
That's how good Golden State is.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So it comes down to whether or not they all stay healthy and they all meet in the Western Conference Final, and can they beat Golden State in a 7-game series? I say no.
Nope, they can't. I don't believe that they can.
And then the question
I think it's possible.
You know, is Harden going to take a vacation on one of these two games?
Well, that's the X factor that nobody planned on last year.
Yes.
If he plays, why the hell not? You don't know. And how many games is Portland behind them? Do you have any idea?
Are they
8-9 games back?
A significant amount. It
has to be, right?
Amount, yeah.
Because
just Google it.
Yeah. The question is, who does Portland play in the conference semifinals, assuming they get there?
12.5 games.
It's 12.5.
It's behind Houston.
It's even a little more than I even thought. So yes, they're that far ahead. Meantime, the Cavaliers trying to find it. They had a good game last night as they beat the Nuggets 113-108. How good was LeBron James? 39 points, 10 assists. His teammate Larry Nance Jr. watching him be just indefensible down the stretch.
It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. I mean, those are shots that, like, as a defender, you just turn around to your coach and go, like, you're sorry. I don't know what you want from me.
Now, Boomer, I don't know if CBS Sports Network has it. They're running the package here. He hits a fadeaway shot. This is it.
Right here, yes.
That is unbelievable. Down the low post, falling away.
Yeah, he's 6'10", but he actually can contort his body and move him around like he's 5'10".
It's unreal.
So, well, let me ask you a question. Remember we were talking about the Knicks when they lost Porzingis, and we were trying to figure out how many more games they would win? Didn't we have a bet on that?
It was, well, some guy called up, and he had a number.
Wasn't it 2?
No.
It wasn't.
Gino, I had a bet, like, I think it was 6.
Okay.
Was it 6? Like, they would find a way to win 6 games.
What's the name? Number 1 right now?
And each I said, they've only won 1 game. And the point that I was trying to make was, like, they can get into this lottery. They can get the most lottery balls. But the problem is, you got all these other teams are crappy around them.
Now, the Grizzlies have lost 15 straight games.
So the Hawks, the Magic, the Nets all have 20 wins. Okay. The Bulls have 22 wins.
Yeah.
The Knicks have 24 wins. You don't think that those teams are going to,
The Nets will try to win games. I think the Magic, if you watch them play, I think they're trying to win games.
Well, yeah, they were last night. I mean, their coach was nuts over what happened at the end of
the
game.
Right. So in the other conference, you have San Francisco. Sacramento has 20 wins. Dallas has 20 wins. Phoenix has 19. And then the Grizz have 18. So they're about, what, there are 8 teams below the Knicks right now.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, they've barely gained any ground in this horrible
season. They really haven't gained any.
It's unbelievable.
Right. The bottom feeders are pretty bad right now and not playing good basketball at all. The Bulls and Grizzlies are 2 of those teams. You mentioned the Grizzlies losing 15 straight. They lost to Chicago 119-110, and the Pelicans beat the Kings 114-101 as Anthony Davis left the game with an ankle injury. He had 17 points, 6 rebounds at the time. New Orleans has won 10 straight games. No idea of the severity, though, of that injury just yet. Tonight, the Nets visit the Hornets. You've got the Rangers in Tampa, Islanders in Edmonton. That game's on the Fan tonight. The Devils on the One Jersey Network are home for the Winnipeg Jets. Time now for Moment of the Day, brought to you by Resorts World Casino Queens, with over 6,000 games on 3 spacious floors. They've got more right next door.
Moment of the Day!
Well, while discussing last hour the Royals attending an anti-porn seminar, the conversation turned to a Jet quarterback, could be a former Jet quarterback, and then a caller would bring it home at the end.
If you Google Josh McCown porn, he's very open about this.
Good for him.
All right, well, good.
And you guys, I'm not saying good or bad. It's just, you're like, oh, that's the first time I've heard of this.
They get there's the breakfast,
well,
and they're
there's
like,
there's no way it could be, if you bring it up, no, I haven't heard of it. There's no way it could be true.
It's the first I've heard of it.
They get the breakfast. And did you watch anything on TV today? Not porn.
it's an anti-porn PSA, Josh McCown.
I'm sure a lot of you watch pornography. That's wrong. The end.
So? I mean, you know.
All right, well.
Do you think it's a problem? The pornography.
I would think it is.
I think it is in today's day and age. Yes. It's too readily available,
and it corrupts your mind to the point that you're gonna do bad things from that.
I think it's corrupting the mind of a lot of young men. Yeah. In this world,
I think so.
And I would just say that just from a practical standpoint.
Andrew Brooklyn, porn or pancakes? Pick one. Go.
Andrew, what do you got, brother?
You know what? I think I might need the number for Josh McCown's support group.
There you go. Moment of the day.
All right. Thanks, Jerry. The old porn and pancakes.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.